All right, counselors on the hot seat, talking municipal politics. Give us a call at 902-405-6000, or you can reach us toll-free at 877-808-2255. Joining us is Tony Mancini, represents District 6. That is Harborview, Burnside, Dartmouth East. Tony Mancini, thanks for doing this.
Hey, good afternoon, Todd. My pleasure.
All right, you sound like you're about a million miles away from the phone. Are you on a speaker?
No, I'm not. I'm in my office at City Hall. There's a bit of an echo in here.
Yeah, more than an echo. It sounds like an echo chamber, pun not intended, Tony.
See if I can adjust as we progress to the show.
If you could, that'd be great. Sean Cleary joins us, District 9, Halifax West Armdale. Sean Cleary, thanks so much. Appreciate it, of course.
Thanks for having me, Todd.
You got it. All right, give us a call at 902-405-6000. Or toll-free at 877-808-2255. Before we get into some issues, Sean Cleary, anything you want to pass along to your constituents or listeners?
Well, I guess it's kind of sad news. For about 11 years, the Natal Day Beach Party at the Dingle has been happening. It was when it first started, Linda Mosier was the counselor, and it was supposed to be a one-time event, but she liked it so much, she convinced staff to do it 11 other times. But unfortunately, this year, with other big events and limited budget and very limited staff, the beach party will not happen on Natal Day at the Dingle.
Okay, that's too bad. Tony Mancini, how about you? You want to pass anything along?
Sure. Is this any better?
Yeah, that sounds much better. Much better.
Yeah, put it on my speakerphone. It's actually better. Two things I wanted to bring up. One that's actually not in my district. It's in Councillor Sam Austin's. But the Canoe 22 is coming to Lake Winook and Darkwithon from August 3rd to the 7th. And that's pretty exciting. We're inviting the world to come to Dartmouth. Over 1,000 athletes, 70 countries being represented. Prince Albert Road is going to be shut down. Lots of festival atmosphere. That's pretty cool. And something you might be interested in, Todd, I just found out yesterday, August the 27th at Aldrey Landing. Outdoors, April wine, baby.
Nice. Rock and roll. What's the date of that again?
August the 27th.
August 27th, April wine. Beautiful stuff. I've had Miles Goodwin on the show, I think, three or four times over the past couple of years. So, for sure, that's awesome.
He's amazing. I read his book and great insight to the behind-the-scenes stuff. So, I know the boys are getting up there in years, but they can still rock and roll.
Man, he's Miles Goodwin sounds like he's 25 years old vocally.
Is that right? Yeah.
Yeah, no, he sounds incredible. So the great stuff. 902-405-6000 or toll free at 877-808-2255. I want to get both of your takes. Of course, the Halifax Wanderers, I don't know if there's been an official ask from Derek Martin yet, but it's heading in that direction anyway for something more permanent. Not more permanent, a permanent stadium with proper facilities for the Wanderers grounds. And this is an ongoing debate. It's back and forth. This is likely going to hit council's table sometime soon, I'm sure. Sean Cleary, I'll ask you first. What's your fundamental take on stadiums and publicly funded stadiums, and in particular, one in the Wanderers grounds?
Well, so I'll answer the first part of your question earlier, which was around an official ask. There hasn't been an official ask to council yet, and I haven't talked to Derek in a while, so I don't know if an official one is coming. I know they've mused about wanting permanent facilities there or somewhere.
Right.
If you read the 1994 Halifax Common Master Plan, it actually speaks to this, and it says the Wanderers Grounds has been historically a field that the city has rented out for exhibition, professional sports, those kind of things. So if we were to, and actually just before the soccer team, the Wanderers, set up and started using it, we had just done major renovations to the field, I think a year or two earlier, and we had put in new drainage, new soil in the grass. It is one of our top flight fields for rugby, soccer, and other sports in the whole HRM. So, you know, it could be something that could work quite well. Obviously, we don't want a big monstrosity there. That would not be in keeping with the neighborhood, nor would you want to do major work to the site, given what I just mentioned about the field. Mm-hmm. But some more permanent seating or better, you know, retractable stands. You know, I could certainly see that, some concessions. And for folks who are concerned about that, I think the controversy comes in. A lot of people think, well, if the Wanderers are using it, no one else can.
Right.
I think we regularly rent to 18 or 19 other groups who use that field as well. So it's not exclusively the Wanderers. They only use it, I think, 8 or 10 times per season. And then the rest of the time, it's available for rent by any other group.
So the vibe I'm getting from you is that you would be, that's something you would at least entertain the idea of an ask then.
If the right proposal came in with the right costs and who bore them, and you know, again, if they ask for exclusively their use or under contract, then no, I couldn't vote for that. But if they want to be, you know, one of many different groups that rent it from us and it's upgraded, I could definitely get behind that.
Okay. Tony Mancini, what's your take on that?
Yeah, Todd, you know, it's interesting. Let's go back to when the Wanderers first proposed using that location. There was lots of opposition in that neighborhood. And I give Councillor Mason full credit. He took a lot of heat. The neighbors were concerned about traffic and noise and all kinds of things. Since the Wanderers have been in place and had a little bit of a break because of the pandemic, that didn't occur. I mean, all we saw was joy and people spending money in the downtown core, marching up from the bars and the restaurants, heading to the Wanderers grounds. So it's been a great success. And from what I understand, what the Wanderers team is looking for is on the exact same footprint that exists now and put something more permanent in. And maybe it's up to a 10,000 seats facility in the same footprint. So I support that because we do need a stadium. Do we need that 20,000 seat stadium? Well, that definitely can't fit in the downtown core, but there's many of events. The World Cup of Soccer, we had an opportunity we could have hosted, but we didn't have a facility. Rugby and track and field, North American Indigenous Games is coming here next year. Would have utilized that field. There's a long list. So I think the right type of stadium is the right decision. And like Sean, if it depends on what the ask is, I would definitely entertain the conversation, that's for sure.
Okay, fair enough. 902-405-6000 is the way to reach us. Chris, hello.
Hello, how are you today?
I'm doing well, you?
Good. Thank you for taking my call. I guess I have a question around the proposed new development along the Waverly Road there that is going to go up in Bahama. I have a number of concerns about that.
Okay, you broke up a little bit there, and can you repeat that again? Because you kind of broke up a bit.
My apologies.
No problem.
I'm just concerned about the development going on in back of the Waverly Road there as it applies to the high arsenic level that are present in the soil there related to the former Montague gold mine. You know, it just seems very scary to be disturbing that area, especially with the importance of Lake Charles to that area. And I'm just wondering what safeguards are in place now that, you know, because it's been classified as a special housing zone or planning zone, there doesn't seem to be a lot of oversight, environmental oversight that's taking place. Now, I could be wrong in that. But, you know, for an average citizen like myself who actually lives in the area, it's still very concerning. So I'm just wondering what information can be given to me around that issue.
Either of you counselors want to jump at that?
I'll take that, Todd. That's in my area.
Okay.
So, hey, Chris and Todd, for your listeners, what Chris is talking about is a proposed Port Wallace development. We've been working on that from a planning perspective with the landowners since I've been on council in 2016. This is one of the 9 projects that the provincial government has added to their development task force and fast-tracked the project. So Chris is alluding to the arsenic. So there's a brook that runs from the gold mine, goes underneath the 107, goes down to Waverly Road, underneath the Waverly Road, and goes into Lake Charles. And so a couple of years ago, for about 2 to 3 years, the project was stopped because Nova Scotia Environment were investigating the arsenic that Chris alluded to. And so the arsenic is in the sediment, in the mud of the Barry's Run and in the mud of Lake Charles. And so it is concerning. So right now they're either clearing land for phase one. I think there's about 25 acres in the process of knocking down trees, and they will be moving soil soon. That permission was given to them from a development agreement from the province. The municipality has now been taken out of this. This is totally an oversight of the province. So, Chris, to answer your question, I've had extensive conversations with the Minister of Environment. Fortunately, the Minister of Environment, Chris, lives in our neighborhood. And so I speak to him on a regular basis, and there is a lot of oversight. And I would reach out to Minister Tim Holman, and maybe if someone, Todd, that you could actually get on your show, I'm sure he'd be willing to speak about this project because there is a concern about the environment. My understanding from the Minister, there's a lot of overseeing it. There's going to be a buffer along various runs. So there's going to be an 80-meter buffer, in some places even a 100-meter buffer, to avoid disturbing the run, and that's where the sediment is. And they are planning to clean up the gold mine. It's on the other side of the 107. So, Chris, I know that's a little bit of information for you. I would reach out to Minister Tim Holman's office and have a conversation with him, and maybe Todd, you'd even
Put
him on the show.
Sounds good. We're up against a break, Chris, so I'm going to have to let you go. Hopefully that sufficed.
Thank you.
Okay, take care. 902-405-6000 is the way to reach us for Counselors on the Hot Seat. We'll be right back. Councilors on the Hot Seat, talking municipal politics. Tony Mancini and Sean Cleary have agreed to spend some time with us, which we greatly appreciate. Give us a call at 902-405-6000 if you'd like to ask the councilors some questions. Alan, hello.
Good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call, Todd.
You got it.
Yes, indeed, to the two councilors. Not to butter you up, put you on a pedestal to begin with here, but you do have difficult jobs, and I appreciate it. I'm in the golden years of my life, as they say, and I'm a news hound. I follow local politics pretty closely. And as my dad said, as long as you give any job your level best, and particularly in politics, if you have the betterment of your constituents at hand at all times, that's about all we can ask of you. So thank you, gentlemen, for your service up till now. You'd think I'd be buttering you up with a question, with a statement like that, but
it's nice. So listen, in fairness, Alan, it's good that you do that because I agree that we need to give kudos where it's due sometimes. So good.
We do. If it was an easy job, we'd all be putting our names up
you got
on
it.
The ballot.
100%. 100%.
We lose that. So gentlemen, we thank you. I'm very concerned, as I mentioned to Vanessa, she always asks for the byline to come in with, and I followed for the last, I guess, our chief of police talk about a very difficult job. I think he's been on the job, correct me if I'm wrong, for almost 3 years now, possibly almost four. I think it's coming up to three, but a little concern, and I want both of you, maybe Mr. Cleary could take this first, because Tony will give him some wind there, because he took the lead on the other one, even though I would like Tony's on this, because I believe Tony either currently serves or has served on the Board of Commissioners. And not a fair question to ask you gentlemen to get inside the head of the police chief. That would not be fair to him or to you or to me or anybody else, because that's a personnel matter and blah, blah, blah. But I'm a little concerned, gentlemen, at the lack of and I'm not going to say transparency. He could be a very transparent man, but just the physical media, coming out every once in a while. I know in the past, I'm a dedicated listener to this show, and Rick Howe's show, and Rick for years had Chief Baisley and for his short tenure, Chief Blay and Dave McKinnon, these fellows, you know, they would come out from time to time and just sort of, you know, give an off-the-cuff state of the state type of thing as to, you know, what's going on, and they'd be on with Steve Murphy and whatnot. But I know this gentleman is under a lot of pressure. You know, we all heard the statement made to the board, I believe, that he stays, you know, awake at nights. Again, my lead in to you folks was it's not an easy job with you, and it's not an easy job with him. But I want you just, if you could both, as counselors, or maybe even just as a taxpaying citizen, which you are, like I am, are you happy with the amount of media presence? And I'm not going to run down the litany of things that's wrong with the city, but just your idea of you know, what's going on here with the chief. Are you happy with how he's presenting himself to the public?
And okay, that's a good question. Good question. Yeah.
Well, thank you, Alan, and I appreciated especially your comments at the very beginning of your call, too. You know what? I think, Dan, you're right. It's been around here for 3 or 4 years now. It's funny. Everything seems shorter with COVID. But if, and, you know, I'll admit ignorance here, I don't know how often he gets called for interviews or comments. You know, maybe Todd might know, at least from his show.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm sure if Dan Kinsella was invited for an interview, that he would make himself available to the media for it. I don't know if any police chief or any CAO or any executive of any organization generally tries to get out there and, you know, be the one in front of the media. Typically, most paid non-elected staff at that level in any government, their role is outside the media. Typically, the media are after the elected politicians, and, you know, that's why we're available here. But again, I think if invited, Dan would probably make himself available.
All right, I'll interject quickly. We've and again, it's not just us, because it's basically, I think, everybody. I'm just interjecting, but we've reached out to the chief, of course, many times, and not been successful. Maybe that speaks to me or something. I don't know. I'm not discounting that. But I don't see him anywhere else, to your point. So, Tony, did you want to chime in on that?
Yeah, not much more to add. I mean, I didn't realize. Alan mentioned the other police chiefs, and Chief Lay was here when I first got elected, and I would see him in the media. I didn't realize that he turned you down, Todd, but to me it didn't seem like...
He turned Rick down, too, as well, so it wasn't just me. He wasn't on with Rick either, I don't believe so.
Right, is that right? Okay, don't know. I know that, you know, he led the way in a number of initiatives. The Wortley Report, for example, was early in his career, and he led the charge in apologizing to the African Nova Scotians where they were treated by police, and he was front and center on that one. Other items, you heard him talk about last August when we had the issue downtown with homeless encampment. He was in the media on that one. But, Alan, I don't know. I would think, you know, he'd be more than happy to chat if there's a particular topic that the media wants to get a hold of. But,
yeah,
no more to add. Well,
I appreciate that, Mr. Nancy. I guess, you know, it is a little baffling because, and again, I should qualify myself. I'm almost talking like I'm a newsman here. I'm not. I love the news, but I'm not a newsman. But even the other night, I was watching basically unprecedented on the 6 o'clock news, and Todd Battis was talking about the gun situation. You know, the lead anchor was talking about the gun situation and whatnot, and he had a local reporter, Jesse Thomas, with him, and he basically said, "Jesse, did we get any feedback from you know, it was a scrum of some sort?" And he said, "I asked a question, and the chief heard me and just walked basically right in front of me and walked away from me and disregarded me." And I've known in the past, as I say, Chief Baisley years ago, you know, he would come up, if you could confirm with Rick and whatnot. I guess I feel that there's, you know, you have mentioned to his credit a few things. Those were very big things. But just, I mean, I guess as a steward of the of justice here in the city, if you could just be a little bit more. I just wanted your take, and that's fine. The two of you have given your take. I might call in to Todd later on down the road a few weeks and get his a little bit more in-depth on this. But I've taken up enough time, John.
Okay, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. 902-405-6000 is the way to reach us. For municipal politics, counselors on the hot seat, we've got Sean Cleary and Tony Mancini, and some room for you again. 902-405-6000. We'll be back after the news. Councilors on the Hot Seat, talking municipal politics. Tony Mancini and Sean Cleary are on the line. Give us a call, 902-405-6000 or toll free at 877-801-8255. Kevin, hello.
Hi there, how you doing?
Well, you?
Good, just doing some driving for work. Now, there's a lot of things that could be talked about. I called about the HRP as well. But before that, I'm always happy to see people bring up Port Wallace. That development's going to have huge negative impacts on the entire chain of lakes in Dartmouth and beyond. And that was always before. That was mainly in the city's and municipality's wheelhouse until just recently. But the main reason I call is because I want to see what both the councillors have to say or what their thoughts are about, you know, the news that, well, kind of the outrage has been around the last few days about the HRP officers being directly hired by Loblaws and grocery stores to do the job of a security guard. Now, these are fully uniformed, armed officers with a cruiser, you know, parked in the parking lot, and HRP officially says that they are off duty and they're doing extra duty. Now, there's a lot to talk about with that, but the signal that it sets is that anybody who has enough money can hire the police to do for private interests. And so that is a public service that's being hired out to, well, the Westons in this case. And when you ask HRP, they don't seem to be very forthcoming in what the details of these agreements are. And I'm curious to see, and this is directly within the municipality's wheelhouse and the councillor's wheelhouse, about what they think about that. Because it's not just in Halifax, it's across the country that these agreements are made. And there's just a tendency for police departments not to be very accountable to City Hall or the constituents under them. That's not just Halifax, it's across Canada. It's a pretty big issue. And I'm just curious to see what their thoughts are and what their takes are on those things.
Okay, Tony, you first, if you will.
Sure. Hi, Kevin. Thanks for your questions. So first of all, you're right about accountability. I mean, the elected officials shouldn't be directing policing, and so they're accountable to the Board of Police Commission. But as far as the extra work, I mean, they've been doing this for years. Not only police officers, firefighters on their time off and doing extra jobs, teachers, nurses do it. A lot of them do it in their time off. This has always been going on. You know, if you go to a Moosehead game, you'll see a police officer. If you go to you see a parade, a Natal Day or Pride Parade, you'll see police officers. And those events wouldn't happen unless the police officers, because the province dictates who does the traffic control, and it has to be police officers. But they've been going on for years doing this. They're paid by the organization that hires them, and they are on their days off. And there is that agreement between their union and the police department to be able to do this. So we've been seeing this for a long time. I don't see the challenge with it. It doesn't impact resources. It's not like it's taking the police officer away from their normal job. They are on their days off in doing it.
Okay, Sean?
Well, yeah, similar to Tony, I mean, you know, the Pride Parade or the Blue Nose Marathon literally could not happen without the HRP extra duty program because of provincial legislation around traffic control. And everyone, you know, I think we all agree we want the Pride Parade to happen. I've been in contact, so I, you know, deal regularly with the Queen Pool Row Business Association and the Spryfield Business Commission. And I've had conversations with CU Tech from Spring Garden. And I know the business improvement districts, for example, have had multiple meetings now with police to try and step up enforcement. Stores, retail stores in particular, have seen a huge increase in shoplifting the last year. And it's been sort of ongoing for the last couple of years, but the last year has been crazy. I know Duggars and Lululemon, for example, high-end retailers where people recently have gone in, they'll run in the door, they'll grab a stack of literally about $2,000 or $3,000 worth of merchandise and then run out. You know, I know with the superstore on Quinpool, which is my neighborhood superstore that I go to regularly, there's been extra duty officers the last couple of weeks. And I've talked to some of the shoppers there, haven't heard any negative opinion. I've received one email
from someone about this recently. I guess there must have been maybe a news article or something on social media, which thankfully I'm not on much anymore. But to Tony's point, too, I mean, firefight, anyone who works shift work, often with their days off, will do other things. I know nurses, for example, that, you know, hospital nurses in their regular shifts, but then take casual or even part-time positions with nursing homes, private nursing homes. So I'm not sure what Kevin is describing. Is it just that he doesn't like police and he doesn't like seeing them places, or is it a legitimate concern about overworked staff? Because if that's the case, then we have to worry about nurses and doctors who do locums in, you know, Nova Scotia doctors who do locums in Newfoundland, firefighters, you know, there's a whole group of drywallers, carpenters. So I'm not sure if this is specific to police and there's an underlying issue there, or if it's about, you know, overworked people in our economy in different sectors.
Kevin, you want to answer that question?
Well, there's a lot to respond to from both. First off, yes, like many, especially in today's reality, a lot of us are overworked, and that includes police as well. And when you have the chief of police in the last budget round pleading for, you know, additional resources because their forces members are overworked, that kind of sends a different signal as well. And we have to remember that policing isn't just the $90 million price tag from the municipality. Policing and enforcement of laws is a hell of a lot more than that. It's, you know, the court systems, the jail systems, and the broader cost of society when you do enforce these things in a way that criminalizes people. Now, I'm not saying it's okay for people to walk into stores and take things out without paying for them, but we need to start to address the reasons for why people are compelled to do that in the first place. Is enforcement the right way to go about these things? We have what it's no secret that people are struggling more today than they have in decades. It's a lot more visible than it's ever been. And I disagree that a police officer having a part-time job off duty is the same thing as a teacher or a nurse or a firefighter. A teacher is not going to tutoring math with a gun on their sidearm, with a sidearm. They're not doing the things in a full-on uniform with public resources. They're doing it completely off to the side for the most part. You know, nurses may do it through their union, et cetera. But it's one thing to be off duty and to take on another job for extra money. It's quite another thing to be quote-unquote off duty and in full uniform with the full weight of the law behind you with a sidearm and a cruiser. Like, those are different things. Now, I understand that parades and things like that need to have police around to control the public traffic and different things like that and those security. But they're not working a security guard's job at the foot of a grocery store. And just because something's been done for years doesn't mean that it's okay or it doesn't need to be reviewed or looked at again to see if there's any conflict of interest. And I know there have been reporters, multiple reporters over the last couple of days that have asked for comment from the police board and the chief of police, and they've been basically stonewalled. And when they have had answers, this has always been the way it's done, et cetera, and they can't get details as to what the agreement actually is and for who.
Okay, I'm just in the thought of time here. Let's get a quick response from both counselors, and then we got to move on. Sean, did you want to respond to that?
Yeah, thank you for your time, by the way.
Okay, thanks, Kevin. I'll let you go. Listen on the line, okay? Sean, go ahead.
Very quickly, Todd. I have no issue with the program. If, you know, a security guard was there and someone was shoplifting, the security guard can't arrest anyone, and so they have to call police anyway. And so, in a time of very high level of shoplifting, I can understand why a retailer would want to have the police present. They can't direct the police. They can't say, "Go arrest that person. Do that." That the police just wouldn't respond to that. That's not what they do. And the police are technically on duty 24 hours a day while they're sworn. And so if something happens and they respond to it, they have the full power of arrest at any time. So again, I have no issue with the program, and I agree with Kevin, but we don't have control over income assistance or social programs or healthcare or mental healthcare. And I agree, all of those programs need to have more resources, and we need to do better for those. But unfortunately, municipal government doesn't have control over those.
Tony?
You know, the interesting Kevin's point about Loblaws or the superstores, the officer is there to deter. I'd be interested to find out what the stats are when an officer is there. Is shoplifting go down or up? Are there arrests being done? I look at my own superstore that's near my community. When I go in there, I'm wondering, you know, what's the impact? Is there actual arrest being happening? I think my gut feeling is no. It's just having that police presence helps to deter the you know, the shoplifting, versus a security guard may not have the same kind of influence.
All right, 902-405-6000 is the way to reach us. Let's see where we're going next. Let's talk to Frank. Hello, Frank.
Oh, hi, Todd. How are things?
Well, are you?
Doing very well, thanks.
Great.
I'd like to speak to the counselors, please.
Okay, actually, I'm going to put you on hold because we need a break. Can you hold, and you'll be first
okay,
when we come
I'll
back?
Hold.
Okay, stick there. 902-405-6000 is the way to reach us for counselors on the hot seat. We'll be right back. Doctor, my eyes have seen the years. Well, somehow I, in one fell swoop, hung up on both counselors. I'm not sure how I did that, but nonetheless. Vanessa will get them back on the line. It'll probably take a minute or two, so my apologies. Give us a call. 902-405-6000. Again, once we get the counselors back on the line, or 877-801-8255. Again, 902-405-6000. Or 877-801-8255 while Vanessa gets to the counselors back on the line. I will remind you that next Monday, it's Natal Day, of course, and that means it's vacation time for us. We will not be around to do a show, so there will be no show next Monday, just a programming note for sure. Again, 902-405-6000 or toll-free at 877-801-8255. That's the way to reach us for counselors on the hot seat. I do believe Vanessa's got both of them back on the line. As soon as she locks Sean Cleary in, we'll put them both on, and we'll get to Frank's call. Again, we got a bit of time to the top of the hour, 902-405-6000. Well, that's a first. I hung up on two counselors at once. Guys, I apologize for that. My apologies. Thanks, guys.
You're not the first one that's hung up on counselor.
All right. Anyway, that was completely me being a Monday moron today. Frank, go ahead. You wanted to ask the counselors a question. Go ahead.
Well, yeah, Todd, this is something that I've called about over the past number of years, and it involves the loud mufflers in the city of Halifax, the regional municipality. I don't know if the counselors are aware of it, whether they hear the loud mufflers. At one time, it used to mostly be motorcycles, but now the cars have taken these things on. They're basically known as flow-through mufflers. They don't have any baffles in them. It's just basically an empty pipe. And so they don't baffle or deaden the noise from the muffler of the motorcycle nor the car. So they are deafening. And Halifax, for a number of years, has had these. And, you know, I've called a number of times, and it was sort of a hot potato. Well, the province is responsible. It's the Motor Vehicle Act. Halifax police can't do anything. So the last time I called, I was told that the Motor Vehicle Act is being changed. So the question is this: is Halifax City Council prepared to enforce, some kind of a sound ordinance on mufflers? Because I'm told that this is now going to be in the Motor Vehicle Act. Will the Halifax police do something about it, or is it something that the Halifax police will just deem as being unenforceable? Because there are things that the police basically say we can't enforce something like that. It's impossible. I just want to know whether the councillors will take an interest in it, or will it just continue to become okay for loud, loud mufflers during the night, during the daytime. Spring Garden Road's a prime example. Dunbrack Street, I know other people have called in residential areas. It's like the Wild West. And I've been to other cities. I've never heard anything like it. But Halifax, it's just acceptable to have these loud mufflers. I'm just wondering whether the councillors would do something about this themselves.
Oh, Todd, please. Let me
sure,
let me
go ahead. Yeah.
So I live on Quinpool Road, Frank, Quinpool near Connaught, and I can tell you, especially in the summertime, I hear the cars and motorcycles all the time. In fact, when I first joined council in 2016, one of the first motions I made at the Transportation Standing Committee was on loud vehicles. So the province did change the Motor Vehicle Act. So what they've done is they've said municipalities can now set a decibel level
above which we can write a ticket, because the old act where, you know, it says, you know, unreasonable noise and our noise bylaw have not been effective. It's been almost impossible. There have been a few tickets written. They never stand up in court. So here's the thing, though. Municipalities under the Motor Vehicle Act are not allowed to regulate vehicles or vehicle parts. So unfortunately, we're not going to be able to do anything about the actual cause of the noise. All we can do is write a ticket, which hopefully, after so many tickets, someone will decide, hey, I'll take that loud muffler off. So the decibel level is being researched right now by our staff. They have to come back to council with a bylaw that will address this issue. Once we agree on what that noise level would be, then we have to buy decibel meters for the police. The police have to be trained. And all of this is probably going to take at least another 2 years, maybe more. And I'm still not sure it'll be that effective, because the problem is still going to be this. You're on your front porch, loud motorcycle goes by, you call the police, and the police say, well, what was the description of the vehicle? I don't know. It's a motorcycle. Well, what color was it? I don't know. And it went fast. What was the license plate number? I don't know. Who was driving it? I don't know. So now the police have to go and find this. So I suspect what will end up happening after a few years, because we won't be able to enforce it very well, they'll have to do street checks, just like they would with, you know, the drunk driving. You know, set up a checkpoint, have vehicles come through, officer will have to get in, push on the gas pedal a few times, rev the motorcycle throttle a few times, see how loud it is, give them a ticket. This is going to be incredibly difficult for us to actually do. The easiest thing would be for the province to simply ban aftermarket loud pipes, mufflers, that don't really muffle. But they chose not to. And we're also going to have a patchwork of systems. Maybe we'll have a decibel reading of 80 or 5 or 90 here in Halifax, and Lunenburg will have 100, and Pictou will have 62. So it's just a ridiculous way for the province to do it. But nonetheless, you're right. They changed the Motor Vehicle Act. We're going to have the ability to set a decibel level and see if we can enforce it. I don't think it's going to work very well. But the province has, you know, now been able to say, well, it's not our problem. The municipalities have it.
Yeah. Well, the only thing is that I just by what you said, it sounds like it that people are just going to take the attitude, what's the point? I mean, I know there's tranquility and despair, but I think that if the council would start taking a stand and say, no, we're going to take a positive approach in this, we're going to enforce this, the police will be issuing tickets, I think at least it would send a message out. But if you say, well, it's going to be hard, we can't do it, then unfortunately, you can imagine the attitude of the police officers. They're going to hear that and say, oh, well, what's the point? You see, that's the
problem
that I have.
No, we will enforce it. I just don't think it's going to be very effective. And it's not a Halifax problem. You know, having gone to places just in the last few years, I heard loud vehicles in Florida. I heard loud vehicles in Ottawa. I heard loud vehicles in Montreal. I heard loud vehicles in Toronto. This is not a Halifax problem. This is usually a young man who has a small penis problem.
well,
let's end it at that. I gotta move on, Frank. I gotta move on. You can't follow up that. That's just
no. I don't think I can.
Okay, all right. That's awesome, Brian. Hello, sorry, Tony. I just want to get another caller on. Brian, go ahead, please.
Hi there, Todd. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
The reason I'm calling is I know you and the aldermen are aware that the province has set aside 9 areas and that they're designating for housing development, but within the HRM they're operating in a very secretive process. So what I'd like to ask the aldermen is, are they aware of the province doing the necessary environmental studies that allow them to move forward with the development? That's a provincial issue. And why is it, as a society, as a municipality, when we move forward with the development of green spaces or what people might consider to be vacant land, we don't have a process to create greenways to allow displaced species like deer to get from one green space to the next? Thanks, Todd.
Okay. All right. Go ahead, Sean.
Well, I'll be very brief because Tony will have a lot to say on this because he's been dealing with this more, especially with Port Wallace. But the studies that the municipality are doing, we're still doing those. frankly, the province doesn't have to recognize them. They can just designate and give a development agreement regardless. But we're still going through that process. We also have the Halifax Green Network Plan, which actually does exactly what Brian says. It lays out important ecological areas and corridors between those areas, and that is being written into all of our planning documents, and it colors the way we look at planning when those applications come to us. But anyway, I'll let Tony speak more to specifics.
Okay, Tony, you got to be quick.
Well, real quick, not much more to add than that. The environmental studies we were seeing in Port Wallace, I saw the trees come down, I saw the animals and the birds fly away. It is concerning, but I have reached out with Environment, and they're still doing it. But as Sean said, they don't have to follow our guidelines. But the Environment folks, I believe, are concerned about these developments and making sure they're still following the appropriate procedures and policies.
Okay, counselors, thanks to both of you. I appreciate it very much. Thanks, Sean.
Thanks, Todd.
Thanks, Tony. Appreciate it.
Real quick, Todd, are you going to bring up to Cecil on Friday about the Jays and the Red Sox on the weekend?
You are absolutely correct. I will be bringing that up. I already sent him a note. Give him a dig.
I look forward to listening to that.
Okay, thanks, guys. Tony Mancini. And Sean Cleary, that is Counselors on the Hot Seat. We do that each and every Monday from noon until 1. Like to thank Vanessa Vandenes on the other side of the glass at the control boards, doing a fine job. Thanks for listening, everybody. We're back tomorrow at 10 o'clock. See you then.
Broadcasting on Mi'kma'ki,
the ancestral and unceded territory of the Mi'kmaq people.
This is City News 95.7, CJNI-FM, Halifax.
Hot, sizzling summer savings continue at Worldwide Furniture with savings up to 80% off. Right now, get up to 60% off select Sealy Posturepedic, Kingsdown, and Simmons Beauty Rest mattresses and pay absolutely nothing until 2024 with Flexity Financing. Queen mattresses starting at $679, in stock and ready for delivery. Going on now, up to 80% off store-wide on select in-stock furniture and mattresses. Hurry in to Worldwide Furniture, Bayers Lake, and Atrium Dartmouth.
There he goes again. Carson Exports Photo Guy, sprinting around the lot, snapping shot after shot as more and more vehicles arrive every day. And he no sooner uploads the photo, and in comes another quality pre-owned vehicle. Then, just like that,
sold!
They're gone. So when you go to CarsonExports.com, request the inside scoop and get up-to-date photos and info. With a massive selection and finance options to suit your budget, why go anywhere else? Carson Exports, the best place to buy a used car. Period. You know
you have it. Michael Bublé's brand new album, Higher, is out now. Featuring the exciting new title track, Higher, along with contributions from Willie Nelson, Paul McCartney, and more. The captivating new album from the Canadian superstar is available now. Listen now on Apple Music.
Dear Halifax, we're Eurowings Discover, a new airline in town. We just met, but do you want to fly to Europe with us? We're leaving soon, and we're flying nonstop. Twice a week, Halifax to Frankfurt, with great connections to the rest of Europe, now through September 9th. Affordable flights to attractive destinations with Eurowings Discover. Book your summer getaway now on Eurowings.com. Europe's most beautiful cities are waiting for you.
All right. It is a Monday. This is Blair and Barker. My Toronto Blue Jays coming off a 3-game sweep of the Boston Red Sox, outscoring them 40-10.
Is that what it was, really?
Yeah, something like that. That's what it says here. I lost count after the first 28 on Friday. I lost count. The Jays capping off the sweep with an 8-4 win yesterday. They are now in sole possession. They're in the first wild card
spot.
What's
the difference?
I don't know. They're in the first wild card spot with a 53-43 record. 10 games over 500. Obviously, the Rays following them at 52-43, and the Mariners, 51-45, who were cooled off by the Houston Astros. The St. Louis Cardinals are coming into town for a brief 2-game series tomorrow. Starting tomorrow, they will not have Nolan Arenado or Paul Goldschmidt because well, I presume they're still, quote unquote, doing their own research on the COVID vaccine. I just shake my head and I move on.
You're at the point where you just don't care anymore? Because I don't care what they say. I just don't. I see their lips moving. I just don't hear what's coming out anymore. I don't care anymore.
Yeah.
Like, you're either playing on the team and we get to talk about you and you're one of the best third basemen
and you
can do things offensively and we love talking about you, or you're not here.
Yeah, you just have you do have to mention it, though. I mean, it does appear as if things, well, I was going to say things have broken the Blue Jays' way. We thought that was the case with Kansas City, and the Kansas City Royals put up a good fight, and the St. Louis Cardinals are still going to have some pretty good players with them. But, Kevin, you look at the way the Jays beat Boston, and, yeah, 28-5 is an outrageous score on Friday. But, I mean, they had, starting with that game, they had breaks galore. And then yesterday, that ball that Vladdy hits ticks off the third base bag. I mean, they literally had everything going for him. Oh, yeah, and by the way, no Rafael Devers, no J.D. Martinez for any of the three games, no Trevor Story. That never has a sweep, and I'm not taking anything away from the Blue Jays.
Well, you're trying to.
I'm not, but I'm saying never has a sweep fallen into the laps of a team the way that did.
I like to say you make your own luck. So, you know, the swing and hit the bag that Vladdy did in the first inning. I like to think I'm going to go with that. That's probably not true, but I like to go with you. You're mechanically sound enough. Look at you looking at me like that.
Yeah, Vladdy was. Vladdy had it planned.
Yeah, he did. He did. He couldn't have rolled it down there any better. Hey, sometimes it's the way it works, right? You're facing a team who's going through something. And right now, the Red Sox, that's strong. That's a bit
Kevin,
strong.
They're not very good
right now. Really, no parts of their game is going well.
But here's what I want to say.
Say it that way. It's the American League East. There's teams in the American League East that are really good.
But the thing is, you know, the Jays, yes, they're more aggressive under John Schneider. You know, they put pressure on teams. But aggressiveness had nothing to do with Duran just pooching that fly ball.
Okay, that's not his fault. I mean, if you can see it, you're going to catch it, right? Well, it's just one of the. Well, sometimes you lose the ball
Try to make an attempt to get it back, though. A lot of them.
I give you that. Should have hustled after the baseball.
A lot of the mistakes they made were on routine plays. And I mean, I'm not taking anything away from the Blue Jays. You put the ball in play. That's the idea. Putting the ball in play. If a team is bad defensively, you know, you force them to make decisions, force them to make moves.
They had a bad weekend, I'll give you that. But again, when you're a team trying to go where the Blue Jays want to go and you're running into a team who don't have all their weapons and are not playing their best game, you beat them.
Did this sweep tell us more about the Blue Jays or more about the Red Sox?
Well, you're just coming out swinging.
No, I'm just asking. Red Sox, because I'm going to say this, the Red Sox, obviously, we listed the players the Red Sox didn't have.
I'm going to say this. I think the wild card will come down to the last couple of weeks of the season. I think that's what this will tell us. This is what I think. Yeah, what's it going to tell you about the Red Sox? The Red Sox have been up and down all year.
And if it does matter, the Jays now have the tiebreaker.
Sure it does.
They've clinched the tiebreaker over the Red Sox.
It always matters.
If that comes into play.
Well, the Blue Jays are a better team than the Red Sox. Now, when the big three are in their lineup, they're a little tougher to pitch to. I know they've handled Devers and J.D. Martinez and Xander Bogaerts pretty well this year. They've made pitches when they've had to make them against them. But what would that tell us? I think for me, whenever the Blue Jays players that are supposed to be hitting are hitting and their starting rotation's good and throwing strike one and being efficient with two strikes and being unpredictable, they're a good team. That's what I think that tells us. And you know, the Blue Jays for me just haven't been clicking on all cylinders all year. They just haven't. And can they start now with a lot of confidence? And it just seems like John Schneider's the right manager at the right time.
The reason I asked whether or not it tells us more about the Jays or the Red Sox, I think it tells us a little more about the Jays. For this reason, as good as they were in this three-game series, it's hard to make the case that Vladdy and Bo are doing Vladdy and Bo things. Now, Vladdy had a great approach the first game. You talked about it. You sent me the text right away, and since somebody's talked to Vladdy,
mm-hmm.
Bo is still chasing still expanding. Vladdy, game two and game three, we saw more.
He didn't listen to the person that talked to him in game one.
But somehow he got four hits yesterday.
He did.
Or whatever.
He can hit.
But my point was, I think we learned a little something about the Jays out of this series, and that is there's length to that lineup. We haven't talked enough, I don't think, about Lourdes Gurriel Jr. The only time it seems we talk about Lourdes Gurriel Jr. is when we're including him in a trade package for somebody. Lourdes Gurriel Jr. has been terrific now for the better part of 6 weeks. Matt Chapman looks like a different guy, and I want to talk to you in a minute about Matt Chapman because you noticed something about him. Raimel Tapia, look, we've taken grief. Both of us like Raimel Tapia. Both of us understood when the deal was made what the